Well, good morning, everybody. It's Friday with Jim here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm, surprisingly enough, your host, Jim. Pleased to be with you. With me in the studio is our engineer, Mr. Terry Wilson. Terry, thank you so much. Kate Brister is the producer of this show, which was conceived years ago by Lisa Smith. And we're happy to carry on the tradition in the manner with which he has demanded. Fortunately, Terry gave me a cough drop this morning. I'm kind of laryngitally lacking here this morning. But
a froggy throat? A froggy throat?
Fortunately, I have one of my favorite friends and one of my favorite guests with us in the studio, Mr. Willis L. Van Dusen. Willis, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Jim. I'm very proud of you for being here today. Jim, his voice is bothering him.
Thank you very much.
You're doing well.
You know, Willis
is laryngitally a word? What was the word you used?
Yeah, laryngitally.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Willis is just voluntarily decided not to run for mayor, and Arlene Lemire took over the reins of the mayorship of the city of Astoria. Willis has moved to post-mayor position, and I'm sure we're going to hear some interesting thoughts from Willis about the future. But for now, Willis, just get started. Tell me a little bit about your family history. Some people don't know that.
Well, Adam Van Dusen, who was my great-great-grandfather, and his wife, Constance, moved here in 1847 and started a mercantile business in 1849. And during the bicentennial of Astoria in 2011, the Historical Society deemed that we're the oldest family business in Oregon. So we're very proud of that. And so it started out as a mercantile, but we have sold coffee ever since day one, and we still sell coffee. And one fun story I like to tell is the original Van Dusen mercantile was down near Scow Bay, John Warren Field, or the former John Warren Field, the cinema and the aquatic center. And the fire in 1922 burned the building down, and the safe fell in the river. And the safe was in the river for 3 years, and then they recovered it, and it had a little bit of money in it and some papers, and we used that safe every day, and it works great for us. And
oh, you still use it?
We still use it every day.
Huh. That's historical.
It's historical, yeah.
I'm wondering, well, if you did such a remarkably fine job as mayor, what made you decide not to run again?
Well, thank you for the compliment, Jim. I really believe that I did not do anything as mayor, but I was sure part of some very good teams, and you were a member of the city council when we did some very exciting things in Astoria, and the one that comes to mind immediately is the aquatic center.
Yep.
And then soon after you decided not to be on the city council, we did the Astoria Riverfront Trolley. And on all of the trolley tickets, it says Mr. J.W. for Jim Wilkins. He was the team captain of that team. And those two examples of the Aquatic Center and the trolley, Jim, I give you all the credit for.
Well, thank you very much. But as you pointed out, everybody owns that trolley.
Absolutely. When you ever try to give anyone too much credit.
Yeah.
And to enjoy the trolley, it's the best to ride on it, but you don't have to. You can see it come by the riverfront full of people waving and smiling, and it's become very well known with Astoria. And, you know, Jim came from Nevada, where he was the outstanding football player in the state of Nevada, and he got a full scholarship at the University of California at Berkeley, which he's wearing a Berkeley shirt today. And excellent.
I would point out, Willis, that this Berkeley shirt that I'm wearing was purchased for me by Willis.
Yes, it was.
And it was given to me as a gift. I thank you very much, sir.
Well, I'm sorry about the game last night. For those who didn't see, UCLA did defeat Berkeley rather easily. But, Jim, if you were playing, I'm sure the score would have been different.
Yeah.
But host Jim is one of the finest athletes that the North Coast has ever seen.
Now, moving forward, Willis.
Jim doesn't like talking about it, but
no,
I sure
that's
do.
Many years in the past. But I know you've got some interesting projects lined up. I know you're busy with Van Dusen Beverages. You recently went through an ownership change there, so that you're now the sole owner. Is that correct?
Well, my brother and I have been partners for years. And a little over a year ago, my brother and his family, Carol and Trent and Sydney, decided that it was time for a different course. And it was a very friendly, understanding family decision. And so, yes, now I'm the with my son and daughter, but I'm basically the sole owner of Van Dusen Beverages, and we're a soft drink beverage company.
I noticed reading the trade press that CSDs, carbonated soft drinks in the vernacular, are down about 17% in sales since last year. How do you make up for that deficit in bubbly soda water?
Well, specifically in our area, Clatsop in Columbia County, we're actually up a very little bit. But the trend for carbonated soft drinks is definitely a downward trend. But for soft drinks beverages, it is not. And we now, probably 40% of our sales are non-carbonated or still beverages. And that's the Lipton teas and the Ocean Spray juices, Aquafina water, Earth 2O water, which is your favorite. It's
yep.
Spring water. But all businesses change, and ours is definitely changing. The carbonated soft drinks are on a decline nationally, and that'll probably happen here locally. But we're prepared, and we think the future of our business is very bright, and we're a healthy little business.
Yeah, and friendly too, I might add. You know, for years, Willis, you've been friends with Shirley Holden. Is that her name?
Sheila.
Sheila Holden, who's an executive with Pacific Power. Now, I know that you've been appointed to a board with Pacific Power to do something, and that's all that I know. I wonder if you could describe for us what the board is, what it does, and what you're going to be doing.
Well, I've always had Pacific Power as our power company because really we have no choice, and I thought that they were a good company, but I got to work with them much closer when the storm of 2007, when Terry Wilson here and you and the community came together and worked. But Pacific Power really impressed me. They opened up housing or homes for those who had no power at Camp Riley and paid for all the food and all the care that they needed. And so then when my term as mayor expired, I was interviewed for a position on the board, and I was asked to join, and I'm very excited about it. And it was interesting during the interview process. I believe that we don't want to have the long-term future of coal energy, and Pacific Power uses a lot of coal. And I told him that. I said I'd like to work to completely eliminate coal as a power source at one time. And in addition to that, I'm not a fan of the big windmills in places that really has pollution of the vista. I mean, when the views are very important, and I think we can find areas for wind power. I think it's a great power, but I don't want to have the ocean or the Columbia River Gorge filled with windmills. And they were very receptive to that. And there is a very good solution that, if we have time, I'd like to share with everyone. Pacific Power is the leader in transmission lines. We've got big, powerful lines, and we can run electricity from Canada to Mexico. California has an abundance, an overabundance of solar power, which in the, I've learned this, but in the industry it's called, they dump the power if they can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes 50% of the power they're generating is not used, it's dumped. And we are working, and we've already done tests, and we in this room right here have had days when we've been running on California solar power. And then we trade the power. So at night, when there's no sunshine to generate power in California, we repay them at a favorable ratio, 3-1, with our own wind power or hydropower.
3-1?
3-1.
Holy smokes.
But it's great for California because they're getting power they were dumping.
Yeah.
And we're getting a great rate. And the future of this abundant solar power is very bright. And there's ways to encourage all of us to use more of our electricity during the daylight hours by having a lower rate during daylight hours and having industry with huge equipment that uses a lot of electricity, get that done during the day. And we can even put batteries in your garage so you can charge them up during the day and run your home at night on battery power. So it won't be for 10 years or 15 years, but I'm pretty confident that we will be done with coal-powered electricity in Oregon.
Well, that's a very worthy goal, considering the amount of methane and carbon dioxide that coal spews forth when you burn it. It's dirty.
It is dirty. It is dirty, and it's plentiful, and it's reliable,
mm-hmm.
and it's dirty. And we have to be smart enough to come up with power that is not dirty and use it at the right time and put incentives to get cheap electricity when the sun's going to burn for a long, long time and can produce a lot of electricity. And really, all the pieces are in place. We just have to come to an agreement.
Well, I certainly hope you're right about the sun. But what is Pacific Corp's take on fracking, where they drill down in the ground and they break rocks up and free up this gas that they pump up? And
I don't have enough information, Jim. I can't speak for Pacific Power and fracking. I can tell you I don't like it, but I want the listeners and you and Terry to know I'm speaking for myself. No, I got to be careful here. I can't speak for Pacific.
Well, what I was asking was whether the board had talked about that. I mean,
we have not.
Okay.
Honestly, the big focus has been how to get this abundance of solar power from California to Oregon. And I've already said it twice, I think. But that power is being dumped now. It's not being used.
Yeah.
And so we're wasting it. And it's really interesting.
Yeah. You know, another thing that you got, we're a captain of the team, the way you put it, is the change in our healthcare community here on the North Coast. You remember years ago the Dr. Patrick scandal and all of that, the local doctors kind of all left in disgust. Many of them, our pediatrician at the time, Dan Rappaport, was working with us. We had a daughter that was autistic, and he was very helpful in helping us deal with that, and all of a sudden he's gone. The healthcare community spiraled downhill, and since then, of course, it's become much better than it was back then. And I think that you've been a strong part of helping that occur. I wonder if you could talk about some of the changes we're seeing currently in our healthcare.
For the listeners that may not know about the Dr. Patrick issue, Dr. Patrick was an independent surgeon in Astoria, and there was a case where a young man died, and his hospital privileges were removed. But the board of the doctors on the board that made that recommendation were all part of a clinic,
mm-hmm.
and so it was an antitrust issue. And it devastated Astoria.
Went all the way to the Supreme Court.
All the way to the Supreme Court, and Dr. Patrick won.
Yeah.
And so that's what I just wanted to make. I wanted to say what the scandal was. We've come a long ways. We've come from the bottom to the top. And 5 or 6 years ago, maybe more than that, 10 years ago, there was a unfortunate competition and we don't have room for competition in medical care. But there was the Park Medical Building was at odds with Columbia Memorial Hospital, and they had billboards and advertisements in town that we have a better MRI machine. No, actually, we have better doctors than MRI machines, and Astoria isn't big enough. That has changed. Dr. Park and Eric Thorsten, the CEO of Columbia Memorial Hospital, are now very close personal friends and very close business friends, and together they have encouraged OHSU to come to Astoria with many different services. The one I'm most familiar with is the cancer care, the oncology program.
Yeah, before we get started on that, Willis, I need to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, with able assistance from Terry Wilson, our engineer, and we are having a fascinating visit with ex-Astoria Mayor Willis Van Dusen.
I wonder how many listeners would agree that it's fascinating. I'd rather talk about your football career.
Well, go ahead. We're starting to talk about improved cancer care locally.
Well, OHSU has, about 3 years ago, or maybe more than that, 4 years ago, opened a partial oncology office here, meaning there was chemotherapy. And unfortunately, I mean, it's just a shame, but it was very successful. And I word it that way because we have so many residents that need the care. It would be better for all of us if they didn't have any patients, but they were full. And so Phil Knight, the CEO and the largest stockholder of Nike, made a tremendous gift of $500 million to OHSU for cancer care, but only if OHSU could match it within 2 years. And if they didn't match the whole $500 million, they got zero. Well, it didn't take 2 years, it took 14 months. And now there's $1 billion in cancer research. And the first project outside of the OHSU campus is in Astoria, Oregon. And the Knight Cancer Institute, along with Columbia Memorial Hospital, and with the help of the Park Medical, with Dr. Park and Mary Park, we will build the finest cancer treatment center in the Northwest. And I mean that. It will be newer equipment than OHSU in Portland, but it'll have the exact same doctors. When you're in a smaller, slower-moving community with the beautiful views we have here, the success rate of cancer patients increases. And, you know, if you have to go in and have a radiation treatment every day or chemo every day, and you're living in Portland to fight that I-5 traffic and go through Janssen Beach, or it is stressful. And right now, for our citizens, which is the priority, it's even worse because they have to make trips either to Portland or Longview on a daily basis in a bus, or if they're lucky enough to have someone drive them.
Right.
And
yeah.
So it will be localized. It will be here where the former football field is. And it will be better. It will be better care than Longview. So I think we will draw people. It's not like, well, we're just as good as Longview, but it's closer. It's going to be better.
Well, you know, we were talking a few days ago, and you described a meeting that you went to up on the Nike campuses, I believe, but with Phil Knight and a bunch of people regarding this issue, and you went up with Eric Thorsten. And the description that you gave of that meeting was fascinating. I wonder whether you could tell our listeners about that meeting.
Well, we were able to get a meeting with Phil Knight, and the purpose of the meeting, to be very blunt, was two things. One was to thank Mr. Knight and his wife for this gift that they gave, and to tell him some of the things that have happened locally in Astoria because of this gift. And we were not going to ask him for a financial gift because we felt he'd already given enough. But we had some guests there that we thought might be encouraged to contribute more to this great project we have if they were there with Mr. Knight. And we were successful with both. And so, the Knight camp, I mean, I've never been to that Nike campus. It's much bigger than I thought, a lot more people than I imagined. And we were brought into Phil Knight's office, and he's a big backer of the University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And the University of Oregon's known for all their football helmets, and in his office is every helmet that the Ducks have ever worn, and there's just shelf after shelf of them.
Hmm.
But we explained to Mr. Knight, one of the big things is the new athletic complex. Now, I'd like everyone to understand that OHSU would not be interested to come to Astoria with any of their projects, the KCI Institute or their heart programs or the cancer, if the hospital did not have room to expand. OHSU has had a tremendous financial burden, and it by trying to build a campus on too small of a piece of land. So it was imperative that the board of directors of Columbia Memorial Hospital did what they did and purchased that former football field, which more than doubled the size of the campus. And the school district was wise also. They said, well, we don't want to put down a dollar amount. If you can create a sports complex that is better than what we have, good enough. Well, it's a tremendous sports complex. It's a $9 million complex. There isn't another one in Oregon or Washington that was built for a school district without a bond levy, without local fundraising, without baked good sales. And so the school district won, Columbia Memorial Hospital won, and when those two win, Astoria wins. So we showed Mr. Knight pictures of the new complex. We went from a boys' football field to a complete sport complex for both boys and girls, baseball, football, soccer, all types of events. And I wanted Mr. Knight to know that this sports complex never would have happened had he not made a $500 million donation for cancer. This is a spinoff. And so it was a very good meeting. And it was a lot of fun, too. That is some campus. And so that was basically the meeting.
I'm curious, just changing subjects here quickly, Willis. There's been some talk in the local media about Heritage Square and the Garden of Surging Ways. I know that you were heavily involved in developing what we see there now, the Garden of Surging Waves, but it's right next to this big hole in the ground. How would you see that development extending out into the future?
I think that the development of that Heritage Square should happen exactly like the City Council is doing with the leadership of Mayor Lemire, is find out what the citizens want to do there. I don't have any personal ideas what it should be, but whatever the consensus is, I will sure back it and work for it. That block there, for many people that may not remember, was an old-style Safeway store.
Mm-hmm.
And the city bought it with a big grant, and it was a grant as long as we didn't use it for a parking lot. And the big hole in the ground, as you know, Jim, but some may not know, was the floor of the old Safeway store, which was never designed to be out of doors. It's a wood floor. And it just rotted and collapsed.
Yep.
And I like this about Astorians, but we're impatient. We want to get this thing done now. But sometimes it takes time. First, we had to get the ownership of the land and make sure that's not contaminated. And it's taking longer than any of us want to. But I sure like it better that it's controlled by the citizens of Astoria than any private owner.
Well, except for one parcel there, the American Legion kind of makes any development there problematic as far as a cohesive full block. I know that the city tried to help the Legion find another spot to move at a point here a few years ago, but they failed. But, you know, these institutions change over time. And has there been any further talk within the Legion people? Is there leadership changes that maybe they'd be interested in finding another location?
Well, when I was in the position of mayor, at that time city council member Arlene Lemire, who's now our mayor, we went and met with the Legion board of directors, and they did not want to leave. And I think that that is an unattractive building, and I think it's right in the middle of Heritage Square. But who owns it? It's our veterans. It's the men and women that have served our country. And so if anyone deserves respect, it is that organization. That doesn't make the building look any better. And if we could find not only the looks, and I guess I'm being a little bit hard on the poor Legion. I don't like the looks of the building, and it's in an unfortunate position. But we just have to, they're wonderful people, they're very intelligent, and I hope that Mayor Lemire and the council could work for a new home for them. But to answer your question, I do not think there's been any further discussions.
Okay. Well, we've just got a few minutes left, Willis. I'm wondering, you know, you've got about 3.5 minutes left. Are there any issues that you'd really like to talk about that you see coming up in the future of our little town?
I would like to just talk about what a great city staff this town has. And I'm no longer the mayor, so it's not like I'm just bragging about our city staff. But we hear about tsunamis, and we have to be prepared for that, and our city staff is doing a good job with being prepared. We have rebuilt every bridge, and we have a grant now to do bridge work where normal cars drive on. We have a grant to fix the bridges on the Riverwalk, and there is one at about 33rd Street in Irving, which is now on the list. But there's not very many towns of 10,000 people that can say they've rebuilt the infrastructure the way the city of Astoria has. And the credit goes to the city staff, not to me as the former mayor or the present city council. That staff has worked very hard to get grants, found the problems. Terry's looking at us like we're running out of time here. Oh, but anyway, we've done a great job. And if you see a public works truck or a city employee, it means a lot. And I want to repeat that. It means a lot if you just say thank you for what you're doing.
Willis, there's a hot-button issue that's cropped up now. Well, not cropped up, but it's become news, and that's the lack of affordable housing. You got any comments about that?
Well, there is a real lack of affordable housing, and we have places where I think we can build some affordable housing. Jim Wilkins here, the football All-American from Nevada and from Berkeley, is the project manager for building some Coast Guard housing right now, which will take a little tiny bit of pressure off. But we need to get an affordable, Terry, that's the right word. We need to get affordable housing so younger Astorians and the workforce have a good place to live. And Commissioner Zeddy McKay has really wanted and pushed for affordable housing above Heritage Square. And if Zeddy can get that going, I'd sure back that too. Zeddy is good. I don't know if the listeners know Zeddy. Did I call her Zeddy McKay?
Yeah.
That was her maiden name, Nemuel. Yeah. Zeddy and Nemuel. Anyway, sorry, Zeddy. Oh, I should say sorry, Chris, her husband.
So you're talking about multi-story building there with residential up above?
Well, I'd like to compare it to the Liberty Theater. The Liberty Theater is one of the rare theaters that has a number of commercial businesses that surround it, and they pay rent every month, and that rent runs the theater. I mean, it's a little bit too simple to word it that way. But if you put housing around Heritage Square, around a new library, or any civic activity there, they could pay rent, and the rent could help run that block. And there's more ways, there's more equitable ways to pay for city activities than just property taxes. Property taxes are fine, but we need more than property taxes.
I understand.
Hey, the column looks good.
Yep, column looks great.
It looks beautiful.
Unfortunately, Mr. Willis, we are running out of time here at Coast Community Radio. And I'm running out of voice, but I sure want to thank you, and our listeners want to thank you for showing up here and speaking with us, as well as thank you for the, you know, all the contributions you've made to our city of Astoria. Thank you very much.
Well, this is a good team here with you and Terry, but thank you. You know it. I love coming in here. And usually Jim and I disagree on more things. You know, he had an idea to put a tram from the train depot to the column, and we used to get in here and almost he's a football player, so from Nevada and from the University of California.
That was an excellent idea, by the way.
That was the dumbest idea I've ever heard. OHSU's tram was $68 million over budget, but anyway. So
people love it.
People love it.
But anyway, for our listeners, thanks for being with us here at Friday.
Please have me back, Jim.
And we promise to have Willis back. He's always fun to talk with. And
and remember, solar power.
Solar power, yes. And next week we'll be back here. I'm not sure who our guest is. I'm hoping it might be Brad Johnson, the chief of police. But until then, goodbye.